Praise God. He is indeed great, isn't he? God is so great. His love for us is so great. And when I think about Jesus, and I think about his goodness, and I think about his mercy, I think about the way that he loved us when we were not worthy of being loved, and I think the way that he willingly went to the cross for my sin. Mm-hmm. Oh, how great he is. Amen. How great he is. Oh, he's given us a freedom inside of himself, right? He's given us a liberty to walk in the fullness and the holiness of his love. He's given us an ability to understand forgiveness. He's loved us. Amen? Today, as I was going through some scripture this week, and one verse jumped out because I know in ourselves we are often so easily ensnared by the wiles of the devil, right? We're so easily tripped up. God says in his scripture in John chapter 8 and verse 36, and we're going to talk about this a little bit more in depth here in a minute. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Something happened to me this week as I was reading that particular scripture. Because I know it's Independence Day and all that kind of stuff. But the freedom that we have in Christ Jesus. Amen? Do you feel free? Does it matter if you feel free or not? Because if Jesus has set you free, guess what? You are free indeed. You're no longer shackled by the hurts and the pains and the concerns of this earth. God has set you free from all of that. Just before there in 8:34 and working ourselves forward, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin." All right, now catch what he said because we're going to get to that freedom part again. But he says, listen, whosoever commits sin is a servant of sin. Who here commits sin? I want to see everybody's hand because none of you are not without sin. Right? So, all right, you're committing sin. What did Jesus say there? If you commit sin, you are a servant of sin. But again, Jesus has set us free. All right, so keep those two thoughts in your mind. In verse 35, he says, and the servant abideth not in the house forever. All right, the servant of sin is not going to abide in the house of God forever. In that house, you're not going to. If you're a servant of sin, you will not abide in the house of God forever. Amen? All right, but the Son abides forever. Now, wait a second. There's a servant that will not abide, but there's a Son who will abide. Praise God for that. I'm not going to be serving the sin anymore as much as I used to. I'm going to start serving the Son a little bit. Right, so because Jesus gives us that promise right after that. If the Son, the Son of God, Jesus the Christ, therefore shall make you free, free from the law of sin and death, if he has freed you from that, you are free indeed. Hallelujah. Man, you are free indeed from the law of sin and death. You have been set free by the power of Jesus Christ. You've been set free through the resurrection of God. Right?
Amen.
So why do I have such a problem? No, Paul talks about that quite severely. Right? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you for your word. I pray, Father, that as I get into the scripture here, Father, I pray that you would show us your truth, that you would show us the way that we can live inside of this freedom with you, Father. Lord, I thank you that you have set us free, Father. I ask even now for the liberty to speak your word with the fullness. Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit would speak to the church with all that is in you poured out on us. Lord, and we thank you and we praise you for that. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, the problem with the freedom of Jesus Christ is we are born as a sinner. Right? You're born in a cage. You're born in a zoo. You have been born under the curse of Adam. Right? Adam sinned, and then God cursed the serpent. He cursed Adam. He cursed Eve, right? Because of the sin, the willingness to do their own will above the will of God. And God said, because you have done this, everything on earth is cursed because of you. So you were born under a curse. You were born under the curse of sin. In fact, the psalmist says in Psalm 51 and Psalm 58, these are just a couple quick verses here. Psalm 51 in verse 5, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." All right, wait, when was he shaped? In his mom's womb. What happened when he was being shaped? He was a sinner even then. Okay, so the psalmist is saying, listen, "I was shapen in iniquity, in unrighteousness, and in sin did my mother conceive me." And in Psalm 58, verses 2 and 3, he says, "Yea, in heart ye work wickedness. Ye weigh the violence of your hand in the earth. The wicked are estranged from the womb." Now this estranged means alienated, the womb, from birth. You are alienated from birth. Why? Because we're wicked. Why are we alienated? Because sin is part of our DNA, because we were conceived in iniquity. Right? When you are alienated, you are estranged from the womb, and they, that means we, I'm going to put we go astray as soon as we are born. The newest baby in the church is in the church today, praise God. Does that child really care if you're tired? No, doesn't care. I mean, mama's been working all day, she's wore slap out. 3 o'clock in the morning, that baby starts to cry. Does he care that you are wore out? He's a sinner. Because if he's a sinner, he'd love other people more than he loved himself. Right? So let me let you know that child, but he can be set free through the power of Jesus Christ, right? And one of these days he's going to grow out of that. Right? So just let you know that he was conceived in iniquity, that he was a sinner from birth. Paul writes in Romans chapter 3, so if you'll flip over there real quick, I want to let you know for sure that you're a sinner, because some folks don't think that they are. You know, and you know somebody who doesn't think that they're a sinner? I know a bunch of people that, "God will never judge me because I'm a blah, blah, blah." No, God will. Yeah, because you're a sinner. You are who you are. Amen? Romans chapter 3, let's pick up in verse 10. "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." Okay, who's righteous? Not a single one of you, you bunch of sinners. We bunch of sinners. All right? None of us are right before the Lord. verse 11. "There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeks after God." Okay? Nobody understands. Nobody's seeking after God. Not in their flesh. Not on their own selves. Right? "They are all gone out of the way. They are all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good." Nope. Not one. And not one single one of us does good before God. So how good are you got to get to the Lord? You got to understand the freedom of Christ. He has set us free from all that mess. All right, now let's read on. It goes to explain us a little bit better. I'm going to put it personal. It says there, but this is my throat. Okay, "My throat is an open and sepulcher. My tongue they have used to see. The poison of asp is under my lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes." All right, now catch what he just said. We are in trouble, people. Why are we in trouble? Because we are messed up. We are sinners. Amen. R.C. Sproul, anybody ever read any of his stuff? He has this wonderful quote. I love it. I love it. I've used it a lot, but I'm going to use it again. R.C. Sproul quoted this. "We are not sinners because we sin." Do you know that? You're not a sinner because you sin. But rather, you sin because you're a sinner. Catch this. You're not a sinner because you commit sin. All right? You commit sin because it is in you, because in iniquity you were conceived. Adam sinned, right? And that sin passed on to all humankind. It is the curse of the disobedience of the first man, not the first one man. All right? Because a lot of folks blame it on Eve. God didn't blame it on Eve. When God came to the cool of the garden, he said, "Adam, what's up, Doc? Adam, where are you? You know, what have you done, dude? He didn't say, Eve, boy, you sure messed up. You brought that fruit before Adam and he ate. No. God said, Adam, man, the first man, the first creation in the likeness and the image of God, that guy allowed sin into the world. All right? And so God blames him. So, young ladies, you not that you get a free ride there, but it's a little bit lighter. It was Adam that was held responsible for the sin, not the female. See, we are all born sinners under the curse due to Adam, under the curse because of Adam. We are a slave to the nature of our flesh. In and of ourselves, how many do righteous?
None.
Not one. Okay? So in ourselves, in our own mindset, we cannot please God by ourselves. I cannot be good enough. I cannot obey. Even if I did obey all the Ten Commandments, right? And I never one time cursed. I never one time had a bad thought. Nothing. I obeyed them all. Could I be righteous before God?
No.
No man is righteous before God because of his works. No man can boast before the Lord because of his works. Because even before I was born, when I was still in my mama's womb, I was iniquity. I was a sinner while I was created. Because the DNA of sin was put in me from the very long before I was ever born. Not before I was ever thought of, because God thought about me because he thought about the cross before the foundations of the world, right? So he thought about me, he thought about you. Oh, there's none that understands, is what it says in 3:11. There's none that understands or seeks God. In and of myself, I will not seek God. I am unregenerated in my mind. All of mankind cannot on their own seek the Lord. It's simply not in our nature. And I like that. I like that Paul wrote it this way because he also wrote chapter 7. Amen? So flip over to chapter 7 just a little bit. And he goes to talking about how wretched he is. Amen? I like the wretchedness of Paul because it reminds me of me. Amen? And I'm not going to go through the whole of the scripture there, but we will lean into verse 24 and forward. Say amen when you get there.
Amen.
Let me ask you about this. Oh, wretched man that I am. Can you fit in there? Amen. Oh, wretched man that I cannot do right. I am wretched. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from this body of death? Let me ask you, church. Who's going to deliver you from the body of death? Amen. The next verse nails it to the cross. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Because I cannot do it. I thank God because Jesus Christ, he has set me free from this body of death. I no longer am under the curse because I'm covered with the righteousness of God. Because I believe in him. I trust him. All right? I thank God through Jesus Christ. So then with the mind, I serve the law of God. But with the flesh, the law of sin. That's why he tells us in Galatians chapter 5, fulfill spirit and flesh, right? Walk in the spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So there are two things warring on the inside of you, amen? You're a wretched man, oh wretched man that I am. Who's gonna help me because I was born under the condemnation of sin? Who's going to help me out of that? George, did you say you're going to help me? Even if you tried to help me, could you help me? You can't help me, can you? Because you're a rotten sinner just like me. Hey, Justin, can you help me out of this sinful mess that I am?
No,
you can't. I mean, you're a good guy. You're better than I am. But you still ain't good enough to get me out of my problems. I need to be set free from this body of death, this flesh that is all over me. How am I going to get free from that? Jesus, I thank God for Jesus Christ. Amen? He was all man. He came in the likeness of humankind to be tempted in how many ways? All ways. And yet, he was without sin. He was born without sin. You know, he was the only child ever made that broke the virgin wall from the inside out. right? Because the Holy Spirit came upon Mary, went into her, and created the God-child inside of her. She was a virgin that gave birth. He didn't have the curse of Adam on top of him. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And as conception of the Holy Spirit, he was born without the sin nature. He was the only one able. But he had to be tempted just like us. He had to be a man. He had to be human. He had to be like one of us. He had to be able to be tempted in every way. So he was God in the fullness, but he was also man in its fullness. And so when Satan came to him and tempted him, he tempted him completely and fully. Every temptation that Satan had, and let me tell you, every temptation that Satan had, he put on top of Jesus Christ, trying to stumble him and trip him up on every single way. Because if he could have made Jesus fall, we all would have been condemned forever. Amen? So God came manifested in the flesh to fight a fight that we could not fight. He came to win a battle that we could not win. We can't even engage in it because we're already born condemned. You are born condemned, destined for hell, because we serve a just God, and God justly has got to judge sin in humankind. And what is that judgment? Condemnation. Because if you break one part of the law of God, you have broken it all. And you broke it just by being born. Because you're a sinner at the very beginning. So how do you live in this freedom? Now, if you've trusted Jesus Christ, guess what he said? It is finished. On the cross, he said, Father, it is finished. I have paid the debt of the world's sin problem. You put sin on me. You made me sin. God, I was perfect. Father, I was perfect before you. I was not born in iniquity, and I never broke your law. And yet I'm dying willfully. No man takes my life from me, but I freely give it, Jesus said. So I'm taking the sin of the world, and God put it on him. And the first time in all of creation past, all of history past, all of history present, and all of the future, for the very first time, God had to look away from one part of the Trinity. He looked away from his Son. And when he did that, Jesus said, it is finished. I have paid the price in full. And whoever believes in me, whoever puts their faith in me, I'm going to take the goodness of God because of the rottenness of men, and I'm going to cover them with my love, with my grace, with my mercy. The big word is propitiation. I'm going to cover you with the holiness of God, you rotten little sinner. And you have been set free because of what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross. Amen. Amen. I am free because Jesus has set me free. No longer do the shackles of hell have a hold on me. I have a free will to walk in the liberty of God. I don't know about you, but when I read that, I got excited. Man, you ever see a puppy so happy that his tail beats him in the head? And that's what was happening. Y'all see me on my desk. Whack, whack, whack. My tail was hitting me in my head. I was so happy when I understood that, because it's not just for me, it's for you. It's for you. Dave, it's for you. Jesus loves you, you old rotten guy. Jesus loves you. Mike, it's for you, and I don't understand it, but it's for you too. Right? He loves you, and he loves you. He fills you. He surrounds you with his goodness and grace, and you have liberty and freedom inside of him. I don't need a Constitution of the United States. Praise God, I got one, but I don't need it. I have liberty in Christ Jesus. I have freedom in Christ Jesus. He put an edge of protection around me. He freed me from the wages of sin, which is death. He has given me life, and life everlasting with him. Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
Man, that is good news.
Yeah.
That is good news.
Amen.
Oh, thank you, Jesus, for the way that you love us and you gave us. Oh, and he again, in Romans, let's just flip over a little bit more. How do you know these things, this freedom that you have in Christ Jesus? Flip over to 10, Romans chapter 10. You say, wow, did you not read anything but Romans? No, I read a lot this week in Romans. But Romans really lays this stuff out really sweetly. I love it. Jesus put it, well, Paul put it through, Jesus put it in Paul, and Paul put it in words for us. 10 and starting in verse 8. What saith it, talking about the Word of God? The Word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Now, how do I know that I'm free? Because I don't feel free. You know, there are oftentimes I feel all bound up. You know, I feel, because I fall daily. I mess up every day. Every day I mess up. Who here messes up every day? Amen? But Jesus said I'm free. So how can I be free and still mess up? Amen. Thank you. Say it again. I'm a sinner. Say it loud that everybody in the world hear. I'm a.
You are a sinner.
Amen. I am a sinner.
Just like me.
Amen. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There ain't none of us righteous. No, not one of us. Amen. But God. But God. But Jesus the Christ. Amen. And so that word, that faith that I have, it's near me, it's in my mouth, it is in my heart, it is the word of faith which I'm preaching to you today. Because if you believe in your heart the Lord Jesus Christ, right? As he goes on saying, verse 9, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord, and shalt believe in thine heart God hath raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Thou shalt be saved. Amen. Verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. I don't have to be ashamed. Why? Because I believe in Jesus Christ. Am I a sinner? Absolutely. Absolutely. Do I live in a sinful body? Absolutely. But have I been freed from that? Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I'm free from this body of death. I'm free. I have liberty. I am set free because of Jesus Christ. I believe in him. I confess him with my mouth. God has set me free that I can have life, and not just regular life, but life more abundantly. Not just abundant life, but everlasting life. I can have abundant life here, but I can have everlasting life with Jesus Christ. Not because of what I did, because I do nothing good, but because of what he did for the world on the cross. And 3 days later from the grave. You believe that? Confess it with your mouth. Amen? Verse 14 of the same chapter. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? It is written, how beautiful are the footsies of them which preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. How good is that? Hey, preacher.
Yeah, I'm no preacher.
Yes, you are. You're a preacher. Stephanie, you're a preacher. Alan, you're a preacher. Steve, you're a preacher. Odette, you're a preacher. Dave, I don't know you good enough, but you could be a preacher. You could be born again today. You could have beautiful feet. Man, you ain't never seen my feet without socks. There's a reason for that. Amen? But God says those are beautiful feet. Feet, not because they don't have flaws and scars and all knuckled up toes and stuff like that. Not because of that, but because they preach the gospel of peace. The good news of peace. God made peace with a sinful mankind. God gave freedom to somebody who was bound up. God set us free from the shackles of sin that so easily ensnares us. We are free indeed because of Jesus Christ. Boy, if you ain't shouting right now, I don't know what's wrong with your shouter.
Amen.
Amen, because God loves you and he brought you. Oh, he says in Isaiah 61, flip over there. Because there's a lot of this. This is how I know that I am free in Christ. Isaiah chapter 61. And Jesus preached this when he came into Nazareth. He started this on 12, 20. 55, 56, 66 is too far. 61, amen. Isaiah 61, say amen when you get there. If you got a good Bible, it's page 770. So you say, my Bible's just as good as yours. If it's King James, it is. If it isn't King James, get a King James. Amen. And if you get a King James without a commentary, that's even better. Now, don't get me wrong. I like commentary sometimes. I like the old ones. Matthew Pooley is one of my favorite. Matthew Henry used to listen to Matthew Pooley. All right, so Matthew Pooley was before Matthew Henry. So I like the older ones, right? I don't listen to other ones. All right, we'll go there with the other ones. But I like the Word of God when it has no perversion to it. I don't need another man's opinion about what this says. Jesus gave his opinion on this, and that's good enough for me. Amen? And Isaiah chapter 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good news, good tidings unto the meek. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to open to the opening of the prison of them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable day of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God to the comfort of all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, and to give them the beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build on the old waste, and they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolation of many generations. And the stranger shall stand and feed the flocks, and the sons of the aliens shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. Now, we're going to back up just a little bit, because Jesus didn't read all that. Okay, he just read the first part of it when he was in Nazareth. So Jesus came and he just read the first part that he came. He was anointed to preach the good tidings to the meek. What's he talking about? Good tidings to the... Who's meek? Humble. He came... Good tidings. What's good tidings? You're free. You're free. You are free. You might be a slave, you know, to a conquering kingdom, because you can be a slave and still be free. Do you know that? The African Americans that were slaves here in America... They may have been in chains, but they were free men. The Irishmen that came over here from Ireland, they may have been slaves, but they were free men if they believed in Jesus Christ. Right? You can be a slave physically to something and still be free in the spirit. Amen? So you might be wearing chains today by something. You might be a slave of some sort. But Jesus said, I can set you free in the sight of who you are. Amen? Because there's coming a day that those chains are going to fall off. Amen. You're going to die someday. And this corpse that I'm wrapped in today, this body, this corpse of unrighteousness, of sin that I'm wrapped in, I'm going to be set free. This corruption will put on incorruptibility one day. I'm shackled down right now by my flesh, but someday I'm going to be free. Amen. I'm going to be free from this sin that so easily ensnares me. I cannot wait for that day. And Jesus, he was sent to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. Liberty to the captives. Freedom to the captives. Who here feels like they're free or tied up by sin today? You can be free. You can be free in Christ Jesus. He came to set you free. And those who he set free, you are free indeed because of Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's the proclamation that we need to tell other folks today. I like it as it reads on down. Oh, and verse 3, okay? To those who mourn in Zion. All right? Now, I'm not in Zion. And I'm not a Hebrew. All right? But I want you to know this. There's some things that I need to glean out of this piece of scripture right here. To give them beauty for ashes. I am so glad for that. Who here's got some ashes that keeps tripping them up every day? Who here got some junk in their past, some junk in your trunk, right? And you keep getting tripped up by the mess that you caused way back then. Oh, poor, poor, pitiful me. I was this way and everybody hated me and blah, blah, blah. Get out of that. Those are ashes. Those need to be burned down and forgot about. He can give you beauty for the mess that was yesteryear. Amen? And I need that in Christ Jesus. Oh, a joy, an oil of joy for mourning. Amen? Oh, I am sorry for a lot of the manure that I caused in other people's lives. A lot of the lies that I believed of Satan in my life. Oh, I mourn over that. I mourn over that. It told me to have sex outside of marriage. Oh, man, I mourn over that. I did some wrong things. I mourn over that I could find my fulfillment inside of alcohol and drugs. Man, I thought that I could be free by being bound up. Jesus set me free from all that. All those things of yesteryear, all those broken lives and the way things were hurt and people were hurt way back when, instead of holding on to those ashes, let them filter through your hands. Let them fall away from your life because you have been free from your past because of the presence of Christ in you. Amen?
Amen.
Right? You are free from that old man, that old nature. You don't have to... The only one who keeps digging up bones, what is that country? Digging up bones, exhuming those things is better left alone. Right? We need to quit digging up those bones. They're better left alone. They're dead. They're buried. The only one who digs them up is you. Jesus separated you from your old life, your old used to be. He buried it in the deepness of the sea. He separated as far as the east is from the west, never to return before him until you brought it up again. Right? He forgot about it. You forget about it. You're free from that old man. He is dead and buried. Don't dig him up no more. I am not a recovering alcoholic. I am a recovered alcoholic because of what Jesus Christ set me free from alcohol, from drugs. I am free and free indeed. I do not have to sin and follow my old flesh anymore because what God did
Amen.
On the cross for me.
Amen.
What God did on the cross for you, you're no longer bound up by that old lifestyle anymore. Oh, was that woman who was caught in the very act of adultery, was she not committing adultery? Absolutely she was. When Jesus finished writing on the ground and everybody else dropped their stones and walked away, Jesus said, hey woman, where are your accusers? Who condemns you? She looked up and said, I don't see nobody condemning me. Jesus says, I am not condemning you either. Now get up and sin no more. All right, people, get up, sin no more. Let the ashes of yesterday get up from those ashes, dust yourself off, walk in the newness of Jesus Christ, walk in the faithfulness of God, and don't be tied up by the yesteryears that you have blown. Oh, what is that? Is it Amos or Malachi? Malachi, if you're Italian. He talks about where the canker worm has eaten. All right, God will give you a new crop where the canker worm has destroyed. Where the old life has come in and messed things up. Who's got mess in their back fields? Amen. The canker worms come in and mess some things up. I messed up. Oh man. And if I always got worried about what the canker worm ate instead of planting the new crop, all I'd have is the devastation of a life that's a long past. Right? I no longer am in that. I have beauty for the ashes. God took the ashes of my yesterday and made the fertile ground of today. And through faith, I have a fertile ground of tomorrow. Amen? Oh, isn't he good? Isn't he good? Oh, and he's given us these things, this appointed day to build, verse 4 of 61, they shall build the new waste, build the old waste, they shall build the old waste, they shall rise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities and the desolations of many generations. How many generations messed up? I look back and I can, for a long time in my young life, I blame my mom, all right? My mom was a cowgirl, all right? I think she just, She was out there, right? I blame, you know, the ancestors. I'm a poor white boy, right? I was born in a poor, poor, pitiful me because I was born in blah, 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 and this right here, and wham, 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 and boo-hoo, boo-hoo, right? Get over that mess. That's yesterday. There was a time that I was walking and Jesus Christ spoke to me. I was lost in my sin. And Jesus Christ reached down and he made a new creature within, right? And I don't have to worry about those yesterday things. I am forgiven. He has forgotten. He's given me newness for the death that was all over me. Oh, man. Jesus said in Matthew 18, verse 11, the Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost. Aren't you glad that he came to seek and save you? That he came to seek you, to save you, to pull you out of nothing, to make you who you are. And not even who you are, but yet who you will be someday. Quick as you let go of yesterday, start facing today, you can have hope for tomorrow. Tomorrow is much brighter today than what it was, because my today years ago, I was all consumed in what was yesteryear. And there's no hope in yesteryear. We need to be joined with one spirit in Christ. Oh, thank you, God, because you have bought me off of that slave market. Amen? He paid the price for me. He bought me off of the old garbage that I used, the trash pile that I was on. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and following. Say amen when you get there because I want to make sure I wrote it down right. I guess I can flip my Bible over too. 1 Peter. I like the sound of Bibles. Kind of hurt, broke somebody's heart the other day on one of those chat things I talk to every once in a while. Somebody put up there that they were happy that they had electronic Bibles. I said, no, you need a Bible with pages. You know, yeah, because there's, don't get me wrong, Alan, that's fine that you got one. But I personally, there's something about that noise. And they do it, they have it computerized now that it makes a noise like that. But there's nothing really, I mean, that's a fake noise. And so anyhow, some folks like it better than I. But anyhow, I like the written word of God. That's why I say open your Bibles too, right? And so everybody got there to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18? Okay. For as much as you know that you are not redeemed with the corruptible things, such as silver and gold, from vain conversation received by the tradition of your fathers. Aren't you happy that you were not redeemed by any of that garbage? Money did not redeem you. The tradition of your fathers did not redeem you. Yet nobody goes to heaven because of what their mommy and daddy believed. Amen. You go to heaven by what you believe who Jesus Christ is. Your mommy and daddy is not going to redeem you, and you cannot buy away your sin. I don't care what the Catholic priests tell you to pay for. You know, buy certain candles and we'll pray you out of purgatory. No, they won't. They will not do it. If you're waiting somebody to pray you out of purgatory, you're going to burn in hell for forever. Amen. It's just a lie made up by the Satan anyhow. Anyhow, that's a tangent. Didn't mean to go on that way, so forgive me. The Word of God says, amen, verse 19. But with the precious, all right, I got to go back to 18. For as much as you know you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from a vain conversation received by the traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as the Lamb without blemish, without spot, amen, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last days for us, for you guys. If you're Italian again,
the you guys. He redeemed you guys.
Right? And you've been redeemed, not by the Godfather, but the God of our fathers. Amen? And so anyhow, praise God for that. He foreordained before the foundation of the world. He was manifested in these last days for us. Okay, for you. Verse 21. By whom? By him who do believe in God and raised up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in him, in God. Amen. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unforged love of the brethren, see ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, born again, not of the corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Woo! Man! Glory! Glory to God! I love God's word. I love God's word. So we have been freed by who? Starts with J. Go ahead, says his name. Jesus the Christ. Amen. Not first, last name. Jesus is who he was. The Christ is who he is. Amen. Forever and ever and ever. He is the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of the world, right? He is the one, the promised seed. He came. Right? And he did it for you, George. Miss Mary, he did it for you. Isn't that glorious? Amen. And the older we get, the more we think that we're not worthy. And I don't care. You're not worthy. Jesus was. I'm not worthy, but Jesus bought this unworthy old rag, pulled me out of the destruction of my mind, pulled me out of the thoughts of who I used to be. He gave for me beauty for the ashes that I had. That's an unfair deal. Amen. Seems like God got the short end of the stick there. But Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. In the paradise of God, where we started, before sin entered in, what did God have with mankind? Communion. He had a sweet communion. He came every day, unashamedly, sat down in the garden and spoke with Adam and Eve and said, "Yo, folks, what's up? What's up, Doc? What you doing today? Tell me things." But because of sin, separation came in. And God had to cast them out of that garden. And no longer was life easy. Life began to suck. Right? It did. Imagine the first time you're walking through the woods and you get poison ivy. Death that was never here before. The first time you got a splinter because there were no thorns, there were no thistles. God redeemed us. He said, "Don't worry about the thorns and thistles of this life. I have a better promise for you. Seek you those things that are above." Amen? Where moth can't destroy. Where your gold can't be cankered or messed with. Where it can't be stolen from you. Seek ye first God. Seek his kingdom. His righteousness. Don't be so consumed with your past that you have no future. Amen? Believe this, you have been set free. Right? But I don't feel free. It doesn't say that you'll ever feel that way. It's not about your feelings. Okay? I have been deceived by my feelings many, many, many times. God said, "I'm free." Guess what? I'm free. I'm free. I am free. I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. I'm not cheap. I'm free. Amen? Your salvation is free. Cost you nothing. Cost God his very son, his life. He loves you. Come on up, play something. Normally don't have a closing song, but I think since I saved one from this morning, maybe we'll have one. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as she comes up and we'll have a closing song. Father, I thank you so much for your word. Father, I thank you for your freedom. I thank you for the liberties. I thank you for the enveloping love of God. I'll praise you, Lord Jesus, for you are good. Oh, Father, you have given me beauty for ashes. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, you have given me life out of death. Thank you, Jesus. You have given me light in the middle of my darkness. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Father, we want to love you and praise you. We ask those things in your wonderful name.